in the beginning, not in time or space, but in the quick before space and time, in life, in love, in co-inherent grace, in three and one and one and three, in rhyme, in music, in the whole creation story, in his own image, his imagination, the triune poet makes us for his glory and makes us each other's inspiration. He calls us out of darkness, chaos, chance, to improvise a music of our own, to sing the chord that calls us to the dance. Three notes resounding from a single tone, to sing the end in whom we all begin, our God beyond, beside us, and within. I begin this homily on Trinity Sunday with a poem by Malcolm Gite. Preaching on the Trinity is daunting to many a preacher, primarily because trying to explain the Trinity is kind of like determining how many angels dance on the head of a pin, an impossible task. I even found this week, as I pondered the scripture readings, that they weren't very helpful. They all contain references to the Spirit of God and how the Spirit works through and with God, and how Jesus also bears witness and calls forth the activity of the Spirit. Even so, I doubt that there are many who could read these scripture passages this morning and say, "Ah, now I understand the Trinity." And so poetry, perhaps, can help us hint at something that is much more profound than any elucidation from this preacher. Poetry. Before both space and time, in life, in love, in music, in imagination, the triune poet makes us for his glory. The poem does get at something that is at the heart of the concept of the Trinity, invitation and relationship. If the very nature of God is to be three in one, the very nature of God is relationship. The triune God calls us out of darkness to improvise a music of our own, to sing the chord that calls us to the dance. The Eastern Orthodox tradition has used the term perichoresis to describe the Trinity. Perichoresis is the Greek word for dance. And the image of dance involves movement and flow, connection, rhythm, and joy. Reflecting on this image, Pastor Eugene Peterson suggests we cannot live as spectators of the dance of the Trinity. He writes, "A hand reaches out to pull us into the Trinitarian actions of holy creation, holy salvation, and holy community. There are no non-participants in a Trinity revealed life." And our scripture readings today do reflect on this invitation to participate in God's work in the world. From Isaiah's vision, which leads to his willingness to say, "Here I am, send me," to the conversion of Nicodemus in his conversation with Jesus, and to Paul's letter describing a life united with Christ through the Spirit. To worship a triune God, then, is first and foremost an invitation to community, to relationship, to participate. God's first movement is always to bring new life. This is the work of a Trinitarian God, a God in relationship who desires further relationship with the world, with all living things. "It is not good that man should be alone," is what God says after creating Adam. Creation ends up always being about creating community. The second person of the Trinity, the Son, Jesus, commissions his disciples to go to all nations to tell the good news. And this is also a movement outward, beyond itself, reaching out to others, creating community. Jesus calls us not to be the church just for itself, but to be a light in the world, continually inviting others in, continually reaching out to those in need, letting others know there is a place where they too belong, where they can know that they are related to others and to their God. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is also very community-minded. A central component of the work of the Spirit is called in Greek koinonia, translated as fellowship or communion. The Spirit weaves in and through creation, through the church, through all of our relationships, and through our own humble efforts at building community. The Spirit brings unity and harmony, enlivening each one of us with gifts, as well as bringing us together as one. The community present within the Trinity, the community that the Trinity invites us into, this all sounds very wonderful. One big happy family. Yet we know the truth of it. Being in family does not necessarily mean being happy. The reality of community is that it can also be a place of conflict, of power struggles, of division, and of exclusion. Community can hurt as much as it can heal. And even so, we are each and every day called to be community, the community of God. We are called to recognize that we belong to God and we belong to one another. Bishop Jim Cruikshank used to say, "Just when I think I've got God figured out, God goes and stands next to someone I cannot stand." The Trinity challenges always to go beyond our petty grievances and old grudges and to stretch ourselves even in relationships that might irritate us. We're called to be open to the Spirit, bringing koinonia in our midst. And we are called to live with the challenges community life can bring and to continue to work at welcoming, communicating, forgiving, encouraging, and loving one another. We're called to live out this spirit of communion with confidence and with trust. And the reason we can do so is because of the gift of the triune God. In the Great Commission, Jesus tells his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is in our baptism that God has already said to us, "You are mine. You belong to me. You are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased." Knowing to whom we belong, the triune God who has known us from before our birth, enables us to know that we also belong to one another. The Trinity is not always easily explained. It speaks to the mystery that is our God, the mystery beyond us, among us, and within us, are all the same mystery. The Trinity is also a way of saying something about God and the way God is within God's self. For God does not need another in order to have something to love, because within God's self, love happens, community happens, relationship happens. And each one of us are invited also into that mystery, into that dance, into that community. In the beginning, not in time or space, but in the quick, before space and time, the triune poet makes each of us for his glory and makes us each the other's inspiration. He calls us out of darkness, chaos, chance, to improvise a music of our own, to sing the chord that calls us to the dance, three notes resounding from a single tone, to sing the end in whom it all began, our God, beyond, beside us, and within. Amen.